That makes the Xbox the most evil one now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I love Xbox, but I don't know about that, man.
When a humble bard graced a ride along with Geralt of Rivia, along came this song. From when the White Wolf fought a silver-tongued devil, his army of elves at his hooves at day level. They came after me with a masterful deceit, broke down my loot and they kicked in my teeth. While the devil's horns minced our tender meat, and so cried the Witcher, he can't be bleed. Toss a coin to your Witcher, oh valley of plenty, oh valley.
And welcome back to Insert Credit, the only show on the internet in which we weekly deliver the loudest news, reviews, tips, and tricks fresh dripped hot from the bottom of video games themselves. In each of our 10 wild segments, we have 6 minutes to puncture your eardrums with the sick truth. If we can't reach a conclusive consensus within the time limit, listeners and participants alike suffer the buzzer. And now, your host, Alex Jaffe.
I can run Insert Credit in the dark. This is the show where a panel of smart-sounding guys apply their combined intelligence to the topic of video games of all things. We will have a maximum of 6 minutes to discuss each of the most pressing questions of the day before we are forced to move on. I might dial it down to 5 minutes today, depending on how I'm feeling. I'm Alex Jaffe, and if you must imagine me as a video game character, think of me as Chuck Quizmo, the game show host worm from the original Paper Mario.
I'm Frank Cifaldi, and if you must think of me as a video game character, I'm going to continue the Chuck train. I'm Chuck Rock, which is a person that humps the air if you press a button.
Wow!
I've never seen you do that, Frank.
Well, it's not about who I really am. It's about who I want people to imagine me to be.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm Tim Rogers, and if you must think of me as a video game character, think of me as Aiden Pierce from the original Watch Dogs, because he sounds really bad like Batman, like a bad Batman, and he's constantly out trying to avenge his dead daughter, who he tells everybody is his niece, and he's his sister, who's actually, in my opinion, definitely his wife, is angry at him. And it seems like she was changed to his sister at the last minute. And he does hacking and cyber crimes and overall knows it a whole lot more than everybody else for reasons nobody can possibly understand. So
picture him like that.
That's about how good of a character of a person I am compared to what kind of a character I would be. There you go. We can talk about the psychiatric ramifications of this later. Bye.
I'm Brandon Sheffield, and if you must think of me as a video game character and you knew me from like 2001 to 2006,
Virginia,
you'd probably think of me as Iori from King of Fighters, because I used to have pants with belts on them.
All right.
There's a whole bunch of people that mention that whenever I'm talking about anything.
Well, you've heard the names. Somebody do that fan art. I'm going on to a short 2-minute segment that I'm going to call Old Business.
OB.
In Old Business, we address some stuff from previous episodes that we would like to revisit just for a second, because it occurred to us that we wanted to say something about it, but ran out of time. Does anyone have something from the last episode they want to talk about? We talked about frauds. We talked about Warner Brothers. Anyone got anything?
Yeah, this is a specific request from me, I will admit.
LMAO.
So, first of all, I wanted to because I was so unresearched with that Warner Brothers thing, but I knew there were more studios. They have so many. They do have NetherRealm, but they also own a majority stake in Rocksteady. They own Monolith. They own TT Games, who does the Lego series and is, you know, known for Sonic R and all that kind of stuff. They own that WB Games Montreal, which I mentioned, and they also have W Games Boston and several other smaller studios. They used to own Snowblind and Surreal, which they don't anymore. But anyway, they have so many studios. They got to be like 1,000+ people. So I thought we should clarify that whoever buys them could do a heck load with what they got.
They could close so many studios.
Yeah.
Well, that Rocksteady was what I was thinking. That Batman studio. Who wouldn't want to own that Batman studio? They seem so good. Good work.
Yeah. Oh, and they also own Avalanche. So
do they? Yeah.
That explains why Blizzard wants him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kaboom.
Nice. And then the other thing I wanted to get at was in the frauds. Somehow we missed this Mamoru Tamagotchi guy. He's the composer of Resident Evil and Onimusha, except he's not. I don't know if y'all remember the story. I vaguely heard about it.
I actually just remembered another fraud story that let me do it after this one.
Okay. So this guy is amazing because he became famous for being deaf. He was a deaf composer, and there were like documentaries about him being the next Beethoven and all this stuff. But guess what? He weren't deaf. He did have some bad hearing, but he was not deaf, and it eventually became revealed through, like, someone did an interview with him and noticed that he was doing things like answering questions before the sign language interpreter finished, getting up to answer the doorbell.
Well,
so not only was he not deaf, he didn't write that music. It was entirely ghostwritten by another guy. And I love how on Wikipedia it says Associated Acts, and that's his ghostwriter, Takashi Niigaki, who actually wrote all the music that he claimed to have written. And it was also to like build a story around himself. It's pretty amazing.
That would be like if Milli Vanilli on stage when they got caught with the record also like peeled off their flesh and they weren't human.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Milli Vanilli is less ethically questionable.
Absolutely. I'm fine with Milli Vanilli. I'm going to go on record. I'm fine with Milli Vanilli.
Fine with every big pop star who doesn't write their own songs. You know, I understand the complexity of the machinery at work. And I respect it. I respect the complexity of the machine. I don't have to like it. But I recall that story. And then I recall thinking, the music isn't even very good.
Yeah.
It's
like, Tim, did you say you had another fraud?
Yeah, my favorite fraud in video game history is a man. Have you all heard of this man, name of Kenji Eno, who lied on his resume and then went on to just make beautiful video games?
Oh yeah.
So let us not forget this man who famously was like, "Yeah, I've worked at video game companies and I designed a video game." Just lied about stuff, but then went ahead and did it.
He backed it up.
He's the king of. He's the best fraud. He's the hero. Of frauds.
And the white hat fraud.
And he was a beautiful man. And okay. I met him once.
Me
that's,
too.
That's the end of the story.
It was cool.
Wonderful guy.
Frank, you had the first question of the show, but because you showed up a half hour late, we're going to skip it.
Oh, good, because I forgot that too.
Great. All right. Jumping Flash. It was first released 25 years ago
today. I don't know if it was today. No,
it was in April.
Yeah, whatever.
I want to know, how has 3D platforming evolved since that day?
Period. It has not. Because why don't we got any more Jumping Flash?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Where's my Jumping Flash 4?
Mario added the third person thing. Can you believe this? I managed to talk to some people who worked on Jumping Flash. And the conversation came around to a point, or at a point, to Super Mario 64. And I recall this guy I worked with who had worked on Jumping Flash being like, yeah, they couldn't figure out how to get the camera outside of the person and have the game be fun. So that's why it's got this FPS style. And I'm like, wow, couldn't figure out how to. And it's just, when you think back, so Jumping Flash is a first-person 3D platformer. the jumps are as high as they are because jumping in first person sucks. And it just sucks in general. So they made the jump.
And they needed to tilt it down so you could see the ground and figure out where you were going.
So the character design, everything followed that, right? Which I find very remarkable and wholesome. It's a robustly wholesome development tale, I believe.
Yeah, but why like else would you make that character?
Yeah, I know, it rules. It rules. So they, I have that little, that's my one anecdote about Jumping Flash. So like we did, couldn't believe it that they were able to get the camera outside of the character and have the game be fun. As we tried that, it's like, wow, that's like, think back to that. Think back to when there were 3D video games and people didn't know. I mean, you know, complaining about the camera in a 3D platformer is a tradition as old as 3D platformers, apparently, but not Jumping Flash. The one 3D platformer people didn't complain about the camera for because it's first person. But yeah, so the way the genre has evolved is people just, they're always going to complain about the camera because it'll never be perfect.
There was a guy on the Insert Credit forums named Diamond Digger 870, and he was talking about how it seemed that in the West, the platforming genre has evolved from, you know, in 3D from cutesy stuff to parkour, and it's kind of all become parkour. But then I was sort of, I've been thinking about this, and like, it feels in a way that in the West you have platformers for kids, sort of. I mean, not really for kids, but in air quotes for kids, like Ratchet and Clank and Spyro and stuff, which are very kind of horizontal oriented. There's a lot of stuff you can see, and there's combat, and you're kind of jumping around. And then the platforming for adults is like Uncharted and Assassin's Creed, and it's all very, and Mirror's Edge, and it's all very parkour oriented. Mm-hmm. Then in Japan, you've got basically it's all platforming is for kids, sort of. Like, you've got your Marios and your Sonics and stuff, but they don't really have an adult-oriented one. They all sort of integrated that stuff into maybe Devil May Cry-like or Platinum games where you spend all your time in the air doing air combos, but the platforming element seems diminished. And so there's got to be something that I'm missing from the Japanese side that is actually like a more quote-unquote adult-oriented platforming 3D experience that I just can't think of, because most of the modern platforming I can think of for Japan is 2D still.
I think there's just not enough modern platforming, to be honest. And you know what? I called this on the Action Button Discord the other day. I called it, and I'm calling it out loud here on the record. In about 5 years, everyone is going to talk about how you're going to see a lot of people say, actually, Super Mario Odyssey was better than Breath of the Wild, dude. You're going to see people saying that in 5 years. I'm not going to say I agree with them. I'm just going to say that people are going to be freaking out about Super Mario Odyssey in a couple of years. They're going to realize how cool it was. And then they're going
to
exaggerate.
Somebody said that to me when I bought a Switch. They said, if you're going to buy one game, buy Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out there.
Shout out to my friend Mark.
They're out there saying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
picking up steam.
Real good game. It's all about, it's just a game about finding new ways to make moving around feel fun. Yeah. It's the entire game.
I really don't know why I couldn't stick with it. I just couldn't.
I don't know how much did you play.
Breath of the Wild is definitely the only Zelda that I've ever completed, and I completed the heck out of it. But
yeah,
Super Mario Odyssey, I got.
How far did you get?
I just got to the end of like the desert-y area.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's about as far as I got.
So the thing is, each world of Mario Odyssey kind of feels like a different game, sort of. I guess if you weren't sticking with it, that's one thing. I can understand that. Another, my big theory, though, and I've heard a lot of stories like yours, Brandon, and here's my big theory. My big theory is that people only have it in them to play one really big game per year. One, like, huge. And I feel like Breath of the Wild was so big that it coming out 6 months before this Mario, come on. I don't know. I think a lot of people just...
I did wait an entire year to try to play that Mario, and then I tried to play it again, I still... It just, I wasn't compelled. I didn't get what was supposed to keep me through, which it felt very strange because I objectively know what I'm supposed to like, but I just wasn't having a fun time. which it's inexplicable to me. I would love to figure it out. Maybe I will someday. But I
were you
like,
playing it portable or on a TV?
On a TV.
Yeah, I mean, I played it on a TV too. So I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, I mean, I
think let's just keep poking at this. Let's figure this out right now.
I really appreciate the craft of it. It's so well done and so well put together.
It's got
together
a bunch of Sega composers in there doing the music.
Yeah, and there's tons of little.
And there's so much Sega music you haven't even heard yet in that game.
You want things.
All right, we're out of time.
Stick with it for the Sega music.
Try.
Here is our next question. Should you be so prepared for it? After making big moves to initially promote it, Microsoft announced this week that they're shutting down the streaming platform Mixer.
Yeah, LMAO.
What happens when a gaming community loses its space?
Well,
I was just looking at this awesome tweet of MMOs, like as they're shutting down, it's like in their last hour. It's just, it's always like a group of people doing emotes or being like, I actually loved you all this time or whatever kind of stuff. It's like watching everyone's last day of high school or something, you know?
Yeah.
Where they're all trying to get that last thing in there. And this is of course a bit different from that, but it made me, I've always been fascinated by that. There was someone on the old Insert Credit forums who chronicled the end of PlayStation Home, or maybe that was even on Select Button.
That was on Select Button, one of my favorite threads there.
Good
thread.
Yeah,
it was really good, and just like showing all the spaces that used to be there and what they were sort of intended for, and like there was a whole IREM zone with all kinds of stuff, and IREM wasn't even doing that much at that time beyond PlayStation Home stuff. I don't know. With Mixer, like they say that they're going to have a partnership with Facebook Gaming, but what does that even mean? It's not like they're giving Facebook Gaming the technology because they already have some. So they're just going to, suggest to their streamers, maybe you could go over here?
Well, I think it's that Facebook Gaming is going to be the thing that's built into Xbox now for streaming.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah. That's what I have intuited as well. And I got to say,
that makes the Xbox the most evil one now.
Yeah, it does. I love Xbox, but I don't know about that, man. And also, I just spent 3 years of my life working at a job where the first year, my yearning was quashed by a dude with a man bun who had signed some deal with Facebook saying that we would stream our video games exclusively on Facebook. Some guy with a man bun who was wearing Vibram five-finger shoes in 2017, signed a deal, left-handed, with bad handwriting, I assume. No, I saw his handwriting. It was bad. He was one of those people who forced himself to become left-handed to be different. And no offense to left-handed people. I'm ambidextrous, etc.
Some taken.
to natural left-handers.
Yeah. To no offense to us natural left-handers. So, I mean, I call myself a left-hander, even though I'm ambidextrous, because I could, you know, whatever. So, basically, you all know about what Facebook did with the whole video industry, right?
Yes.
They inflated views. I had to spend half a day prioritizing my video for Facebook, getting it out on Facebook, and tagging it on Facebook, and putting up a thumbnail on Facebook. Your video got 800,000 hits on Facebook, dude. It's like, it turns out it actually didn't even get like 20,000, right? So it's like stuff like that was completely wild. So I'm like, I hate Facebook now. I used to dislike it. Now I hate it, and they can go die in a fire for all I'm concerned. Mark Zuckerberg, I'm sorry. I hate to say somebody can go die, but Zuckerberg, come on. You know, GTFO the Earth is all I'm saying. Get in a rocket, you know. Get one of those Tesla rockets.
Him and Bezos can get in Elon Musk's rocket with him, and they can just heck off to Mars.
Yeah, just get your butt to Mars, Zuckerberg. So I was thinking about this Mixer thing, and apparently Ninja had like taken a day off streaming the day before it happened, apparently, and all of the Ninja fans were either psychotically irate, or they were like conspiracy theorizing what's going to happen, and then they announced that Mixer's gone. And I'm actually looking at Ninja's Twitter right now for about the first time in forever. Ninja, the wonder bread of people, no offense to him. He's got a real wonder bread personality. I'm scrolling down his Facebook, or his Twitter, and there's no talk whatsoever about the mixer thing, which is professional of him. And I'm seeing that I didn't know this. His Valorant team is called Team Ninja, right?
It's what? Valorant? Oh,
no. Valorant. That's how I would pronounce it. I don't know.
I thought it was Valorant.
Valorant?
I would have said Valorant.
Yeah. I'm calling it Valorant. I don't know. Because that's how much I care. I'm actually in on it. I have a Valorant account. I don't know how it's called. I don't know what it's called. So it's called Team Ninja. There's like another streamer named Destiny. There's like a whole bunch of these streamers. God, there was another one I saw the other day. I saw like a streamer whose name was like just the name of a video game, you know? And it's like, oh, like, but he doesn't actually know that game. Somebody help me out here. It's somebody in the comments. Get on the comments. Where's the chat? Somebody in the chat. Tell me there's a streamer whose name is just the name of like a video game that I'm pretty sure the streamer doesn't even know about the game. It's just he thinks that's like a cool name that he thinks he made up himself. There's more than one of these. I'm serious. So
I had a little ninja side note with him being Wonder Bread and all, which is he was on that Masked Singer show, if you're aware of.
Oh,
this
yeah,
show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this. Oh, I was going off on this in the Discord the other day.
It's quite something because I mean, you know, he was in there just, you know, not doing a good job and whatever. But my favorite bit was when they unmasked him and they're like, it's Ninja. He's a YouTuber and a gamer.
And no one knew.
And nobody knew who he was. And they're all like, oh, polite applause. And
it was, we're not teenagers.
And also they called him a YouTuber, which I love because because that's, you know,
it's like calling a Sega a Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like he was also on everybody saw him trying to slice bread on that Bon Appetit.
Oh,
show.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
So apparently my theory is that the reason he signed with Mixer is because some greasy dude, some guy was like, hey, we'll give you freedom to explore your interests. And his interests are just being mayonnaise spread on white bread, basically.
I thought it was the big bag of money, but it could be that.
Probably both.
That's interesting. When is it pleasant to feel lost in a video game map?
That's a good question. When it looks real cool, that's one.
I was going to say in the original Doom, it's fun to be lost in the original Doom.
I don't like it that much being lost in the original Doom.
You don't like it when the map is like 99% empty? And then when you finally chance across an enemy you haven't killed yet, it just like scares the heck out of you.
I guess that moment is good, but the like continuing to go back over each little square and be like, okay, I've been here. All right, I've been over. Yeah, I've seen that one. Was I here? I think so. You know, like when you're hunting for that last little door opening device and. I mean, I guess that's more Doom 2 or whatever, but you can't find the one little bit that the game was hiding from you, and you can't finish the level and you're almost done. That part's not that fun to me.
I like when games reward you for being in weird places when you're lost. So that could be a moment of fun, is just discovering this hidden treasure chest or something.
Oh, when the game expects you to get that lost.
Yeah. Or just I feel acknowledged for trying to explore, I guess. I don't know if that counts as being lost, but that's, I don't know. I don't really explore much these days. I just kind of play the game now. So when I'm at least rewarded a little bit for going outside the straight line, that's kind of fun.
I do a lot of exploring. And so I guess there are a lot of times in open world games where I'm rewarded for being lost. I was just playing that Witcher 3, which Tim described as extremely polished and perfect, which was hilarious to me because I don't know,
it's
probably
polished.
It's probably different on the PC than it is on the PS4, which is where I'm playing it. But you know, I'm the second cutscene I encountered, the camera was halfway through my horse's face.
I saw that on Twitter.
See the horse's tongue. I love it.
There's a. There's that genre of tweet/YouTube video that's just funny cutscene physics fails or whatever in video games that just kind of.
I know you're anti that, but that's
But yeah.
I'm not exactly making a compilation.
I just want to clear out that was a mid side quest dialogue. That was not like a marquee side quest dialogue. It was not like a side quest intro or outro. It was like a mid. They're doing. Once you see how much of a goddarn game there is in there.
Oh, there's a bunch of it. In fact, that's what might make me stop playing it. But to get to the discovery bit, like I was walking through an area and there was an abandoned town and there was a well. And I was like, I wonder what happens if I jump into this well. And I jumped into the well and there was, you know, like a hanging corpse there, and there was some side questy stuff to do, and it was kind of an interesting little side note. Of course, I did the quest in the complete wrong order because of that and had to go back and get the prompt. But I like when a game rewards me for just being like, what's over here? Is there a little something? I guess it's a little different from being lost, but it's like in that kind of game, it doesn't matter if you're lost because probably there's going to be something fun to find. I like that. I appreciate it.
I feel like I haven't been lost in a video game in forever because, like a modern video game anyway, because, you know, a game that has a mini map, can you ever actually get lost? I tried to get lost in like Red Dead Redemption 2. I guess I sort of did, and it didn't feel super good, but it felt kind of cool. Like, cause I know Red Dead Redemption 2 has a bunch of like super, super deeply hidden things. Super deeply hidden lore things in it.
Yeah, because it feels like 10% of that map is there to do the game stuff, and the other 90% is just there.
There's like cabins in the middle of the woods that have nothing in them, or there's just like there's some items and there's stuff. You want to like? So I don't know about being lost, but in the game The Last of Us, which I have recently played a bunch of times, the original The Last of Us, there's a whole lot of off the beaten path places that you can go through and just buildings you can walk up and around and inside. And there's like super articulate, like super considered world building stuff in there, like a bunch of candles and a shrine to like somebody who died, just like in an otherwise empty room that's destroyed by the apocalypse that you might never even go anywhere near, but it's like a whole bunch of original art that's not used elsewhere in the game, whole bunch of 3D assets, stuff like that. I feel like if there were an open world game that had stuff that was that deeply considered hidden, I feel like The Witcher 3 and Red Dead Redemption 2 kind of do. But anyway,
that would be good. I've mentioned this game a few times and it's unfortunate because nobody can really play it, but Colors for the Gizmondo.
It's theoretically possible, but unlikely that you will play Colors.
In that game, Gizmondo. I've mentioned this exact sequence before, but there's a sequence where you're chasing a literal white rabbit after you take some drugs. And that's not what's interesting about it, really. But you're going down this hallway and everything's blurry and you are actually lost.
That's all we can hear about this game that no one can play.
Final answer, the desert in Breath of Fire 3.
Sure. We'll be right back after a very short break.
VSB!
After these messages. Hi, I'm Alex Jaffe. You may know me from the Insert Credit Show, or at least the good episodes of it. I'm here to tell you about a service called DC Universe. If you live in the United States, you can give us $8 a month, and you can read 23,000 comic books. And some of them are pretty good. Batman's in them. Batman's in, like, most of them. You like Batman? I bet you like Batman. That's DCUniverse.com. Offer code insert credit gets you absolutely nothing, but you can try it.
Well, I'm going to go Mr. Toilet again, because I'm Big Boy Toilet Man. So I'll be right back.
Big boy toy. Violet Man. Okay, are we ready to go on?
Yeah,
I am.
Oh man!
Yeah, right. Although my dog is going to be making some squeaking sounds.
That's good.
Good. We'll keep it in the show. In the show. We now return to Insert Credit. It's time for our Patreon question. For the question we address right after the break, I take something that got submitted through patreon.com/insertcredit from one of you kind enough to sponsor the show and feature it right here. By going to patreon.com/insertcredit and subscribing at any level, you can get in on this action and get episodes one day early.
One day early?
Yeah.
Day's question by Samuel. Samuel asks, what is the worst thing to happen to you while you were playing a video game which wasn't part of the game itself?
Well, this isn't actually, this is probably not the worst thing, but it came to mind and is a funny story. So, we got the cops called on us when we were playing some fighting games. It was me and Vincent Diamante and Patrick Miller and other friends of the show were hanging out in Los Angeles at Vince's apartment. And I guess we were a little too boisterous in our playing of, I don't know what we were playing, like Rumblefish 2 and Garota and Break Blow and stuff.
Fester Twist, baby.
Yeah, and so the cops got called on us. We got a noise complaint and they knocked on the door and we opened the door thinking it was going to be like another friend showing up, and it's a cop, and it's the opposite of a friend, and he looks at us and I can tell he's completely taken aback, because he was all, you know, he was in kind of like semi-hard mode, not really necessarily knowing what was going to happen, because we were
thought
in
it was like homicidal domestic abuse that was happening.
Yeah, he thought we were in like Pico Union somewhat rough and tumble area, and he was like, okay, I gotta be ready for anything. And then he opens the door and it's like a bunch of nerds sitting on the floor with arcade sticks. And he looks at it and he's like, he looks at us and he's like, I guess we got a noise complaint. I don't know, keep it down, goodbye. He was so annoyed that he had to come out and talk to a bunch of dweebs playing fighting games, and he just turned around and left in a huff. So that wasn't probably the worst thing that has ever happened to me. Like, I'm sure I've injured myself falling over and spilled a drink and exploded my laptop or whatever. But that was the first thing that came to mind.
So I got one. It doesn't involve playing a game. It involves anticipating playing a game. At whatever E3 they debuted Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii, I really wanted to play that game. And I didn't really have any good ways of skipping the line. But I didn't care. I had time between appointments, and I stood in that line like a plebe. And I waited, I believe, an hour to play this demo of Super Mario Galaxy. Next in line, ready to go. There was the guy who was playing was just about done. And Nintendo people shuffle a guy in a suit in front of me. They like give him a cut in my line.
Oh.
And that guy is Peter Molyneux.
Oh! Correct. Speaking of frauds,
Brett. He played it and he's like, this would be better if there were a dog that you could feel sad about.
Oh my god.
And that's when he designed The Last of Us Part 2.
He loves The Last of Us Part 2.
Don't spoil anything about The Last of Us Part 2, by the way. Unlike haters, I'm actually playing the game right now.
Everyone knows that you have to be sad about a dog in that game.
I did not know that you have to be sad about a dog in that game. No, I did not know that.
I think that that's something that happens immediately.
No, I've played it for 5 hours, so I've not seen anything bad happen to a dog.
I will say you do kill the dog many times in Super Mario World.
I kill the dog. I kill the dog.
You don't have to. You're good. You don't kill that dog.
I'm going to tell you what the worst thing that ever happened to me while I was playing a video game was.
Please!
Is I kind of thought, I should write something about this. And now 20 years later, every single person I've ever met has been viciously disappointed in me. So, how does that answer your question?
That's a slow burn on that one.
Yeah. The worst thing that... Worst thing that ever happened to me while I was playing a video game, I got really into Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, stayed up a few hours past my bedtime, and heard what I am pretty sure was my parents having sex.
Ooh, that's no good.
That's not great.
Yeah, that stuck with me.
FFTA. No good. FFTA will do that to you.
Has that ruined the experience of playing Final Fantasy Tactics for you?
Actually. Still a great game.
Okay.
Tactics Advance is pretty legit.
It has ruined staying up late, so I don't do that so much anymore.
Don't stay up late. Never stay up late.
Nothing good happens after a certain hour.
I'll tell you what about Final Fantasy Tactics Advance is I did not like it when I first played it, and then later I played it on an emulator, and I enjoyed it immensely. So I have a problem. I had a problem enjoying anything on the Game Boy Advance, despite loving the way the original Game Boy Advance felt. My eyes are such that I couldn't see well enough to enjoy the game.
I have a thing with Final Fantasy Tactics where, like, we're making a tactics game right now, and I have a great respect for people who play it and don't say, you must really like Final Fantasy Tactics, because game is nothing like it,
FFT.
And I don't like Final Fantasy Tactics very much. So when someone can hold that back and play the game and not compare it to the one game that they played, I have a lot of respect for that.
FFT is, you know what? I like it enough. I like it enough, but I'm just going to say that it is the poser's choice for tactics games. No offense.
Sure.
Posers.
I think it's visually striking. It's got a lot of good elements to it.
Music
it's
is very good.
Cohesive. The music's great.
Yeah.
But if you got a tactics game where it takes a full second and a half to rotate when you hit the button and it makes a big shkong.
Oh, it could be quite modernized. It could. I would be up for a remake of a remaster variety. You know.
I think the takeaway here is play it later, emulator.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
If you needed to prove your good moral standing to a courtroom using only your video game save files, which ones would you present?
Oh my goodness.
Moral standings based on save file?
Oh, yes. Which video game save files would you use to prove you're a good person? Well,
I mean, you could be like, check out the degree to which I explicitly went down the Paragon path of Mass Effect, I think is where.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Right? Okay.
Oh, well, that's about it. Yeah. I mean, otherwise it's just like, look, I wasted a lot of time and got a bunch of the goodies.
No, you could be like, all right, check. How about this? You could be like, wow, sorry, I said a lot of fluff words right in a row. What happened to me? I just had like a little brain explosion. But you could take, for example, your Sonic Adventure 2 save file and be like, look how many chow I breeded.
Oh, see, I was where I thought you were going was I could take my save file for Sonic Adventure 2 and be like, look, I only played the Sonic part.
Right.
Yeah.
The later Grand Theft Auto games keep track of how many crimes you do. Look how low my number is. I don't even do it in video games.
My Grand Theft Auto 4 would be spotless.
Right.
They talked for so long about how you really could just be a pizza delivery person in Grand Theft Auto, and
no,
that means the violence isn't bad. Of course you can't. You have to.
Tim and I tried this on an Insert Credit podcast with Grand Theft Auto 5. We tried to obey the law. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We tried to.
Well, that's the system for you.
So when I say my Grand Theft Auto 4 save would be spotless, basically what I'm saying is I have zero... You can actually have like zero murders on your stats screen. They have this extremely long stats screen. So when I played Grand Theft Auto 4, because I did a review of it for actionbutton.net way back in the day, if you're listening to this show because you watch my new YouTube videos, there's a lot of video of reviews you could read instead of asking me what I think about a game. You could see it back there. Just letting you all know that. I did, for the purpose of the review, talk extensively about how I played without committing any optional crime. And I never I stole zero cars. Stole zero cars. I only used the cars provided by the story.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I had an enjoyable time. Whenever I was stuck somewhere, took a taxi.
Took a taxi every time. You could call up your cousin to send you a taxi.
You know, the taxi was the best part of that game, and it just, you know, for that to be the best part just feels like an insult to what that game is.
Yeah, it's, man, I actually just downloaded Grand Theft Auto 5 yesterday on Steam. I own it, but I just never downloaded it. It's the Steam sale right now, dude.
Oh, happy Steam sale, everybody.
It's the summer sale.
Maybe. Well, I got that game free on that Epic Store. So.
Oh, right. Excellent. I mean, I got
it free. So how would you prove your innocence to a courtroom using video games?
I would be like, look, I resisted the temptation of the most... I resisted the notoriously sticky sweet temptation to commit virtual catastrophe all over the unwitting innocent citizens of this digital city and only did the story missions in Grand Theft Auto. I can prove that I got to the end of the game only doing the story missions. They involved killing, but I didn't kill any of the pedestrians, like the IGN reviewer who said of Grand Theft Auto 3 that you can kill anybody you want, and you can pay people money and then kill them and take the money back. It's like, oh, that's a weird thing to... The game doesn't force you to do that.
But I didn't read this review that you probably made up, but that's what everyone said about the game at the time. That was how people talked about it.
It's actually real. Yeah, so that's how people talked about it. And I can be like, I managed to resist it and had a very good time.
But that is an arbitrary morality system because
it's true.
It can be argued that by not engaging with the fun mechanics that people crunch to bring you, you dishonored them.
Or what if you loaded up a game with a bunch of collectibles and showed that you completed it without getting any because I don't take things that aren't mine?
I guess there are, you know, no kill runs of games like Deus Ex and maybe even Dishonored. Maybe you could do like a no kill.
Oh, don't show them Dishonored. They'll think you're dishonorable.
Oh, kaboom.
Check out how I honored this game.
I did a no kill Metal Gear Solid 2 run. I had that on a memory card. Zero kills. Zero kills. All nonviolent.
You could try to do a nonviolent run of something in real time for them in front of their faces and be
but
like,
but it has
look
to use a memory card, though. That was
I guess the memory card situation.
I think doing a nonviolent run in Metal Gear Solid 2 is so technically paraphernalious that I would just look like a serial killer if I demonstrated that I did it, that I had done it. I'm going to tell you what, I killed everybody in Metal Gear Solid 3. I killed them all.
Oh, yeah.
That's role-playing.
Yeah.
He would have done that.
Big boss.
He did do that because it's in the past, so we know what happened.
It's in the past. Snake. God, I love Solid Snake. Akio Otsuka does Solid Snake. Akio Otsuka voices Wamuu in season 2 of JoJo, or not, part 2 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the anime, and his performance is delightful. It's delightful to hear Solid Snake voicing this legendary being, one of the Pillar Men.
That's the Washington Mutual character, right?
Exactly. Wow. That's exactly what that is.
It's named after the band Wham. But yeah.
That's a good part of the show. Number 7. What's something you might hear about a game that's clearly meant to be positive, but will completely turn you off?
Well, come on. I know Frank's answer already. It was 80 hours long.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
I mean, I just saw on Kotaku.com today. There was a post that was like Sean Layden. Y'all know Sean Layden. Guy had an excellent tailor. He wore very good suits when he was on stage at Sony. He had said in some interview or some podcast, he was like, oh, there should be more short games that are easier to develop, take less time to develop, cost less money. And then you go into the comments on any blog post reporting on that, and it's just people being like, he clearly is out of touch with what the gamers want. And it's like, man, all I want is a 12-hour main quest with a billion quadrillion side quests. That's what I would like.
Yeah.
Just give me good...
Like
good
the Yakuza stuff. Games.
Give me... Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Now you understand why I'm so excited to review Yakuza 0 for my video series, because...
That'll be fun.
That's going to be my big angle segment. Going to be talking about game length.
God, that game's good.
Y0 is good.
Oh, I think one... this may not be a popular opinion, but one that I don't like to hear is, you know, like, swap between tons of weapons. I don't want that many weapons. I want a couple weapons that feel good that I can use in different situations. But like, when they like, the hot swapping of weapons in Doom Eternal, for example, is supposed to be really fun, and I do not find it fun to do that.
Don't even
get
me started on Doom Eternal, because I'll be talking about that in my next video for Action Button quite extensively. But you know what? I'll just say, here's all I'll say. I don't like that game. I love it, but I do not like it.
That makes sense.
Had a real good time, but I look back at it and I'm like, oh man.
Here's one that I'm not sure how I feel about. When I see like something along the lines of your choices affect the future of the world and stuff, I feel like I'm gonna be getting some hacked in binary choice of do you want to blow up the world or don't you kind of thing.
Yeah. Fable really ruined that.
Fable killed it before it could even get started. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was always like this choice. Would you like to give this man a dollar or whatever it is, a gold coin, and then you give him a gold coin? That man started a church that enslaved children and murdered
Did you
women.
Know that every choice
it's like,
is
okay,
bad?
Okay, all right. All right, man. Like, I don't know. It's like, I was long ago, the wool was pulled out from over my eyes, if that's the expression, and I realized video games are fake. And the stories are just kind of manipulated by game designers. I get a little peeved. This is actually going to sound bad, and I know this is what you're saying. When someone says that the narrative has a lot of choices, yeah, I feel like, uh-oh. The Witcher 3 has a lot of choices, but nobody really says, I love The Witcher 3 because there's so many choices. So they're busy talking about other stuff, you know?
I got one. If... In an interview, a developer mentions having a kid and that changing their perspective on whatever. I'm done.
Yeah.
Not going to play that one.
Here's another one, which is retro-styled, hyphenate, anything. If you
just
80s, that,
like 80s aesthetic.
Yeah, if anyone says 80s or if they say the word aesthetic in the thing, it's... And also, I'm getting tired of the word whimsical, because if I never play another Twee Sony Santa Monica kind of loop-de-doo game again, I think I'll be okay.
So what's worse, whimsical or irreverent?
I think irreverent is pretty bad.
Yeah, I think irreverent is worse. And to be clear, I love whimsical games. I just don't like...
Big fan of
like,
the
whimsy. I like that Piku Niku game. It's like got... Exactly those things that I
just said.
I can't
have Piku Niku. I'm a vegetarian.
That's right. It has all those things that I just said I don't like, but it does it well, and it's not like, get ready to flop through the magical, whimsical, whatever. I don't know. They're not trying to pull one over on you.
Okay, the Batman games are 75% off on Steam, everybody.
If you like Batman, get those games.
Looks like Daddy's playing Batman. Not tonight. There was something, I was going to say something about something related to a Batman game, but I'm just going to, never mind.
Oh, what I want to say is, what are those dudes up to?
Oh, very good.
There are rumors. I can say stuff, but I won't.
I'm sure Jaffe is bombarded with rumors and speculation all the time.
Yeah.
You mean Rocksteady?
About Rocksteady.
Rocksteady, yeah.
There's a rumor.
They're probably making a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game from the perspective of the villains.
From the perspective of Spike Spiegel.
Yeah.
From Cowboy Bebop.
Sure.
Okay, why not?
Next question, please.
The next Here question is, should I get them Batman games?
The answer is yes.
I'm going to get them Batman games. I'm gonna do it. I'll do it later.
If you play Asylum, talk to me, because there's some good mod stuff to do.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. I'm just going to buy all of these ones listed here.
I just played through Asylum 2 weeks ago again.
Frank!
Okay.
What's up? What's up, Alex?
Last week, you mentioned that your favorite video game genre is jump around and talk to people.
I'll have to trust you on that. Okay.
What did you mean by that, and what are the best games in this genre?
Jump around and talk to people. Night in the Woods, like, I believe, was what you
Night
were referencing.
In the Woods, yeah,
Night in the Woods is up there.
Jump around
like
and talk
Fez
to people.
I like Fez on that one, even though I know that the controls are floppy and it's all weird, but like, I like that one.
And I wouldn't consider that one. I mean, it technically is. But the jumping around, just, I don't know. When I say that, I'm thinking more of a like Monster World kind of game, where it's a game about moving around in a fun way and hitting stuff, but you go to town and there's people. Let me think. I think the reason that it came up was actually one of my suggestions from the bundle for racial justice, which was a short hike.
That's a little one. Yeah, a little hike.
That was that's maybe my favorite jump around and talk to people game. Like, I just want a
cave story, jump around and talk to people.
No,
there's not enough talking. No, I don't feel like I go to a place that is inhabited by people. I think that's the key.
What about Land Stalker?
That's pretty close. There's some people in there. There's not a lot of jumping in towns. I guess there's some.
Oh, there's plenty of jumping in towns. Trust me. You know what game I think is a jump around and talk to people game? Frank,
go for it.
What?
Super Mario Odyssey.
Mm. Yeah, that's not bad.
I think Super Mario Odyssey is, maybe this is how to sell Super Mario Odyssey to Brandon. It's way more of a hangout game than it is a platform game, I think.
I have tried to view it that way.
That desert world sucks, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the first two worlds suck. They're not.
That's rough for me.
It opens way up, and then every level is extremely sweet to me.
All right. I'll
think the desert world's okay, though. You get that little town.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're okay, but they suck compared to some of the later stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
They're still better than most games.
The first one of those that really got me, I think, was Kadash, which was first in the arcade and then on the PC Engine, and I guess also on the Genesis. But in that game, I guess that was the first game for me, even though there was like already Castlevania 3 and stuff, which I didn't really play that much, where you had like an action RPG side scrolling, like actiony deal, and then you would go into a town and talk to people and get quests. And...
Oh, that's 2, not 3.
Oh, oops, my mistake.
Kadash?
Castlevania 2.
Okay. Oh, then, yeah. Okay.
Castlevania.
You want to hear a really, really short story about Castlevania 3?
Sure.
There's a kid in my school who loved Castlevania and he constantly said Castlevania, 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 and he was like, "Oh, Castlevania's good." And then he called Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest and Castlevania 3 Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse. So it was Castlevania, Simon's Quest, and Dracula's Curse are three really good games.
Castlevania Rondo of Blood.
Yeah, so it was like he emphasized Simon's Quest, Dracula's Curse.
He had to differentiate it from the other quests and curse.
And
Castlevania
was...
Circle of the Moon. And yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the hearing him say Castlevania was the first time I ever heard a kid say Castlevania. And that kid's name...
Peter Molyneux.
Peter Molyneux. No, that kid's name was Simon. So
nice.
He was nice.
Just Simon, loved having a quest.
His name was Simon Dracula.
Simon's Quest. So maybe that's why he pronounced it that way, is because he needed to separate it from his own experience.
Or he wanted to take
name.
Ownership of it.
Simon's Quest.
Have y'all played Kadash?
No.
So there's a bit in that game which I really liked, where at some point you have to get like this little potion that'll make you small.
Yeah.
And then when you're small, then you can get into the dwarf village and you don't actually need 100% to go to part of that area. And so it felt like that was just for having a conversation and hanging out.
I have realized now that I've played this and enjoyed that part.
I like Kadash.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Hangout games. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it is. I think it's the same thing as Hangout, is that I want to feel like I'm in a place that's real and has its own rules outside of me and run around in a way that feels good. So like even the hub town in Sonic Adventure kind of scratches that itch for me, in that, you know, I'm running around, I'm doing Sonic stuff, and I can just kind of go in this hotel and there's people in the hotel doing hotel stuff. It's not, you know, it's an abstracted version of the ideal version of jump around and talk to people game, but it's there. It's a clue to what's in my head when I say that.
Yeah, I like that Night in the Woods as well for that reason. I mean, it's an obvious choice, but it's the movement isn't amazing, but I like to run around on power lines and see how high up I can jump, and then, you know, you get real high up and it's like, oh, there's something here. There's somebody to talk to. There's someone else who got up here who was, you know, talking about how their life is hard, or talking about how their life is cool, or there's that person who has new poems for you every day that they've been writing, like that.
But there's like five of those, and I don't know. Like, I feel like when I played that game, I felt like the movement was just something that it forced me to do to get to the part where I advanced the story. But it wasn't a game about moving around. It's like the moving around was kind of put on the game about talking to people.
I see how you would feel that way, but for me, like, I wanted to jump on all the trash cans and go blong 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 blong. Well, in front of my my cop aunt, just like make a bunch of noise and stuff. So it kind of like run all over the church and just be obnoxious.
How do you not like Mario and you like that? That's amazing. That's all that Mario game.
Mario Odyssey's chill, dude.
Obstinacy is the answer there.
Like, all you do in Mario is you go to the shops and, like, jump around like an idiot in front of Toad. Like, that's what that game is.
Yeah, you got to get to New Donk City, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The city rules. It's, like,
it's a good name.
Beautiful piece of level design.
How about we go right to the lightning round?
Right to the light.
I don't have to do a question. Round. Cool.
Yeah. This lightning round is one that you suggested last week, so we could count this as your question.
Oh,
I'm going to name a bunch of sodas, and you're going to tell me what you're going to tell me what that soda is of video games.
Sody.
Excellent.
Yes.
Okay, so like the 7-Up of video games.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
Not cool.
We're going to start off easy. We're going to start off easy. Yes, Cool Spot is a 7-Up of video games.
No,
we're
it's
gonna
not.
We're going to start off easy with Mountain Dew.
Halo.
Oh, just because they had a marketing deal with Halo doesn't mean they're the Halo of video games.
But you know, it kind of is the Halo, the Mountain Dew of video games, because it's like very
green.
Instant, it's green. it's instant Gex. Gratification in a way.
I think it's masculine and competitive.
Yeah.
So Halo and Call of Duty are both fine for me, even though those are the stereotype answers. They feel right.
I mean, maybe I just got branded too correctly.
Yeah, Brandon Sheffield. Number two. Sheffield.
Okay.
Diet Pepsi.
Oh, Diet
okay, Pepsi. So it's like the good for you-ish option that nobody actually likes.
Next?
No, you can definitely like Diet Pepsi if you drink just it and not regular Pepsi.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel like you can actually prefer it to Diet Coke.
Oh, well, okay. I don't mean to get too sanctimonious here, but I love Coke Zero. I will drink Diet Coke if it is what is available. Yeah. However, I will almost always, in the absence of Coke Zero and the presence of Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke, choose Diet Pepsi.
Okay.
Weird.
That's
so
me.
What's the that of video game?
Yeah, interesting. An interesting question.
I feel like it would be like a remake of a game that some people might prefer, but others might not. Like, I don't know, Shenmue 2 for the Xbox versus the Dreamcast versus the PS4.
Yeah, the Xbox version of Shenmue 2.
Yeah, the Xbox version.
Perfect.
Shenmue 2.
Next is Dr. Pepper.
Okay, this is something that is cloned constantly. So I'm going
3.
Super Mario?
Okay.
Wow.
Super
Mario's not just Coca-Cola?
I thought Mario, well...
Yeah. That's a good point.
Also, this cloning kind of ended in, like, 1996 anyway, so...
I just saw a new one in the Safeway. I don't even remember what it was called.
Wait, you saw a new Mario clone at the grocery store?
Oh, I thought we were talking about Dr. Pepper.
Oh, Dr. Pepper.
I mean, to be fair, all of these sodas get cloned pretty hardcore.
Okay, but the reason that the cloning comes to mind for me is that it always has
like
Dr. something.
Dr. Star. Dr.
So maybe
Thunder.
It's like the Great Diana Sisters.
Or Dr. Mario.
I mean, it would be probably Tetris is my answer then.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, games like Columns, decent
Well,
game.
Then you got like Fortress, Hatress. You know, like there's Tetris.
I was thinking the thing about Dr. Pepper is that it boasts that it has like 23 flavors, but no one really knows what they are.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a good one.
23
too.
Flavors. I mean, that wasn't a marketing thing until. Well, it was a marketing thing a long time ago. Then it disappeared. Then it came back. Dr. Pepper also has too many varieties. They have cherry. They have diet caffeine free cherry vanilla Dr. Pepper exists.
Wow.
Yeah. There's cherry Dr. Pepper. There's vanilla Dr. Pepper.
Oh, so it's Street Fighter 2.
There's cherry vanilla Dr. Pepper. It could be Street Fighter 2. You just answered your own question. But yes, it's the Street Fighter 2 is the Dr. Pepper of video
Jappy,
games.
I think you won lightning round and you get the question next week.
Great. Sierra Mist.
I promise I was building up to that.
Oh, nice. Sierra Mist.
Cool Spot. No. Sierra Mist is Pepsi's answer to Sprite. And Sprite is Coca-Cola's answer to 7-Up. So, and 7-Up is an independent, was for a long time an independent beverage. And Sierra Mist was not popular because Pepsi also had Mountain Dew. And then later they brought it back, but they added caffeine and they branded it sort of like an energy drink. So if we accept the fact that the timelines have slipped and that soda behaviors are several years ahead of video game flavors by virtue of sodas having been around much longer than video games, I'm going to say it's Ristar for the Sega Genesis.
Okay. You know what? That's my favorite Bjork song, Soda Behaviors.
I'm one thing that I'm learning, well, I guess I already knew this, but I really don't know that much about soda.
And I know a whole lot, because for the last 14 years, I have been slowly researching and writing a screenplay about Coke 2. Hit me up, HBO, if you would like to talk to me about developing it.
Moxie!
Oh, Moxie.
Moxie. Product of New England, of Maine.
Yes. I have consumed a Moxie once.
I've had Moxie.
Is it like classic cola?
So here's what it is. It's like it's something that used to exist that was it was like one of those tinctures that they would sell in the oldie times.
Such was Coca-Cola like a cure-all. And Dr. Pepper as well.
Yeah, and then it went away for a very long time, and then someone repurchased the brand and made it taste kind of oldie time and look have an oldie time look on it. So
Fallout.
It's not a game, but Atari.
Yeah, it's the Atari brand.
I would say it's the Fallout 4.
Yeah, I like that.
Fallout 76.
RC Cola.
Can you? Oh, can I just make a request that you say Iron Brew later?
Sure.
Okay. Just making sure we get Iron Brew. I want to talk about Iron Brew.
Royal Crown.
RC Cola is Bonk's Adventure.
I was just also going to say it was Bonk's Adventure, actually. Because it's an alternative that nobody particularly wants, but a few people are like, yeah, that one's actually the best.
Yeah, a few people like it. Adventure. Yeah, I think it is Bonk. I'm going to tell you what about RC Cola is my mom would buy it sometimes if it was the one that was on sale. And my big brother pretended to like it better. I mean, I say pretended because let me tell you, knew the guy well enough to know when he was just making stuff up. And we would occasionally get Shasta. None of us liked Shasta. So Coca-Cola was the best, Shasta not the best. And RC Cola, my brother said, was the best. So there you go.
RC Cola has a little less sugar in it, I think.
Does it? Yeah, I mean, I would believe it. It probably does taste better. It probably tastes closer to Japanese Coke.
Fresca.
So that is a grapefruit soda?
Yeah.
Am I remembering right? Okay.
I've never had a Fresca.
Really?
I think it's East Coast, isn't it?
I believe so because my New York grandma drank that.
Do you want a
That's
Fresca?
The only explanation.
I can only hear it in a New York-ish accent, and yeah. I think my grandma, who is from New Jersey but lived in Florida, bought Fresca. So.
I think it's also zero calorie, if I remember right.
Yes, it is itself a diet soda. There is no diet Fresca because it's already diet.
So it is a zero calorie grapefruit drink.
Yes,
and it's something that's probably kind of okay. Not that many people have heard of it.
Yes.
So what's a game that we all haven't played, but everyone says is fine?
No one says any game is fine. They either say it's terrible or the second coming of Jesus Christ.
It's a game that only old people like.
Oh, Wii Bowling.
Yeah, it's Wii Sports.
Wii Sports is not bad for Fresca. I like that one. You're really pulling your weight.
Wii Sports Resort.
The tropical theming.
The better Wii Sports. If you just play it, you'd love it. And next, yeah, there you go. That's all I got.
We got Dr. Brown's Celray.
What is that? Is that the celery soda?
Oh, I like that one.
That's the celery soda.
You could buy it at the Genova Deli in Oakland, California before they had to shut it down because they raised their rent to $25,000 a month.
I had one of those with my Genova Delicatessen raviolis once.
I bought they might still have them in the Walnut Creek location. Go check it out.
Yeah, I should try. I mean, who knows if that's
drive up
still
there for a soda.
Local references.
Gotta love it.
So it's something that it's like it's taking something wholesome and making it bad for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So what's that? Video games altogether. wholesome and making it bad for you.
Shadow the Hedgehog?
Harvest Moon?
One of those games that...
The newer Harvest Moons?
Harvest Moons? Yeah, Harvest Moon is pretty close. Not the modern Harvest Moons, because those aren't real.
Well, that's what I mean, like, hit something good and making it bad for you. But well, I guess Shadow is a good one, too, Shadow the Hedgehog.
I think those games are. I think all those games are bad for you. Any one of those games that purports to be some kind of a friendly experience, it's still bad for you.
Oh, look at this one that just popped up on my list. Iron Brew?
Iron Brew! Iron Brew is Grand Theft Auto, dude. First, because it's from Scotland?
Yeah.
It's got, like, I feel like Grand Theft Auto, the original, the whole Grand Theft Auto series, Rockstar Games in general, is just the Iron Brew of video games. Iron Brew is an abrasive, has anybody here had an Iron Brew before?
Nope.
No, okay. But I'm aware of it.
Okay, it is.
I always assumed it was alcoholic.
Yeah, I know. That's how they get you. Here's the story of Iron Brew. Iron Brew looks like some kind of lighter fuel, right? It looks like it's this very unnatural, remarkably transparent orange beverage that has a very distinctive flavor, similar to Moxie, which is why I remembered it when we were talking about Moxie. It's branded in a way that makes it look as though it's an alcoholic drink. Children in Scotland and England will proudly drink it. Such is its look of such is its maturity and its
success. Yeah.
Not really maturity. I'm overstepping a bit by calling it supposedly mature. It's a great joke beverage for youths around Scotland town and such, and I feel like Grand Theft Auto was a really good example of a video game that looks like you remember people talking about Grand Theft Auto 3. It's like the Sopranos of video games, dude. Like,
sure, man,
no, it's not. It's some dirtbag child nonsense. Good game. They didn't start putting any sort of concerned effort into a story until much later. So that's what I think. I think Grand Theft Auto is Iron Brew.
Okay.
I want a little sidebar here regarding Iron Brew. Are you aware of also the beverage Malta, which is Nigerian brand of it's Guinness without alcohol, basically, and it's like an adult soft drink that they have there, but there's no alcohol in it. It's just the Iron Brew conversation reminded me of that. I don't know what that video game is, but. We don't have to get into it.
I just want to say on the record, I'm not sure that anybody actually ever drinks Iron Brew because it looks sort of like it might be alcoholic and then gets disappointed when it's not. But I feel like that's part of the appeal of it.
Sure.
It's got to be somewhere. There's somebody at some point.
Our last soda is Cherry Coke Zero.
Oh, CCZ. The Young Pope's breakfast of choice.
Correct.
So it's like, it's something that's okay, and then they add something and it makes it worse.
I think it's, you know what? I used to be like, Cherry Coke Zero is good, dude. Now it's like, I 100% of the time go for the non-cherry.
Yeah, same. Same exact experience. Yeah. So it's a game where they added a mechanic needlessly.
And everybody loved it. And then it turns out everybody just kind of drifted back.
Turned out it ruined it for them.
What's that?
World of Warcraft?
Not Fortnite.
Lost Planet 3?
Ooh, that's a decent one, yeah.
Because people really liked 2, and then 3 added too much stuff, and everyone was like, actually, it's the best.
How about Street Fighter 4, maybe?
Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Because it added
any of those games, man.
Because after that came out, everyone went back to Melee.
They did.
Yeah. I guess that's right.
Jared. One of them.
Yeah, one of those. I am the winner of this week's episode. Congratulations, Alex Jaffe.
Done.
But I will allow all of you the chance to recommend or plug whatever you wish this week. What's on your mind?
Oh, plug it in.
I got some stuff.
Go for it.
There's a movie. Actually, I got to make sure that I can secure a copy of it on Blu-ray. So hopefully I can do that before this episode goes live.
Kaboom! But,
there's a movie called Dead and Buried, which is a early 80s horror film set in like a coastal American town. And it's got some neat stuff to it. I recommend just going ahead and watching it without finding out a whole lot about it. If you like horror films of that era that have just like a spooky, weird mood while also being in a place that really feels like somewhere, that one's real good. But the reason I mentioned the Blu-ray thing is I ordered the Blu-ray and then that order got canceled, even though it said it was shipped. And simultaneously, you know, I was looking if there were any additional left, and there were a bunch available for like $15. But then I finally realized this Blu-ray is not coming at all. And now it's all on eBay with like out of print on it. And the prices have just skyrocketed within the last 2 weeks. So, oops.
Yay.
So absolutely owned.
Yeah.
I got a quick one, which is PBS just aired a documentary pretty recently that you can stream on their website.
The public broadcasting service.
Yes, the public broadcast. Called Recorder, the Marion Stokes Project. It's a documentary about Marion Stokes, who was sort of an activist in the 60s and 70s, who, starting in 1979, just started recording TV nonstop. And when she died, there was this giant warehouse with 70,000 VHS tapes.
Wow.
In EP mode, so the 8-hour tapes, of just broadcast television, because that's just what she did for 30 years, and then she died.
Wow.
So there's a documentary about who she was and why she did that, and her family life and stuff like that. And not amazing or anything, but it's a good little hour and a half use of time.
I hope that stuff is getting preserved too.
Oh, somehow. Yeah. Yeah. It's the Internet Archive has all of it and has been encoding it. And they actually, to make it at all usable, they scraped the closed captioning data from the video and sort of auto transcribed it so you can search by text for things.
Man, they better not shut that Internet Archive down.
That will ruin everything. We only have one record of the internet. It's that one.
That will ruin... man, they can't shut that thing down. God darn it.
There's a really good moment where they illustrate sort of the weight of what this means, and where they show from her collection four different moments in a grid synced to each other of the morning of September 11th.
Nah.
It's a pretty powerful moment where you just kind of see the world change in real time, and like the four networks sort of catch up at different times to start talking about that.
Tim, you got a recommendation?
Not particularly, no. I have a recommendation. Here's my recommendation. My anti-recommendation. Don't go to the god darn movie theater.
Right.
All these movie theaters doing these tweets. There's a tweet making the rounds about some theater where there's a guy disinfecting the seats, you know? Right? It's like we're disinfecting the seats. Oh, we disinfect them between shows. Man, that's ridiculous. Don't go to the god darn movie theater. It's like I made a tweet today where I was like, I love imagining some schlub putting running a phrase through the Google Translate equivalent is for PR people, just running the phrase, please give us $60 to experience prison for 2 hours. Like, I don't want to be sitting in a dark room 6 feet away from the nearest, from my friend or like the people that are other people in the building wearing a mask, just like rubber gloves on my hands, not eating popcorn, watching a movie. That's psychotic. Why would I do that? Don't go to the movie theater.
Don't go anywhere.
I had a friend who always got upset at me because when we went to the movies, I would sit one seat away from them.
Yeah.
I like to do that if there's room for it. Anyway, my recommendation is to watch the television show Joe Pera Talks With You. It's on Adult Swim. It's really good. My other recommendation is to go to patreon.com/insertcredit, where you can directly support the show by giving us a little bit of money and paying our editor, Blaine Brown, who deserves it for all the wonderful work he does, and someday hopefully getting me a microphone that doesn't sound like it's living on the inside of my computer, because that's what it is. You could support the show directly by raising our visibility, by tweeting about the show, talking about it to your friends, or giving it a review on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever you use to get podcasts. Another thing you could do is follow us on Twitter. The show is at Insert Credit. I'm at Alex Jaffe. Tim is at 108. Frank is at Frank Cifaldi. Brandon is at Necrosofty, which is like necro, like necromancer, soft, like soft, and then a Y. That's how you spell that.
Excellent.
I'm not going to tell you how to spell Cifaldi. Maybe next week. Another thing that you can do is you can keep on listening to the show. We love having you around. You can visit forums.insertcredit.com. Leave some comments there. Brandon will probably read them because he restarted this podcast to resume some semblance of social interaction in his life, so he craves it.
I love it.
Until next time, I'm Alex Jaffe.
I'm Frank Spaldy, and leave the reviews. That's the important part.
Yes.
I'm Tim Rogers. Don't mention me in your reviews. No, I'm just kidding. You can if you want.
I'm Brandon Sheffield, and I don't have any extra witty thing to say at the end. I'm sorry.
And this is my witty sign-off.
My friend.